welcome Allies to Vision after the show, and I'm your weaver of context, Caroline Casey. So here we are on Valentine's Eve, we remember that Valentine's Day was actually named after almost Pope Valentinius, right? And Valentinius was, we would say, a socialist. He believed in equal everything, men and women equally in the church, and you rotate positions, so you're a lay person, and then next time you're a pope, and then you rotate around, and a complete equality and reverence for nature, and almost happened, right? So it is a socialist holiday, reminding us that life itself is socialist. So, right, so here we are, and it is... we're electing an irresistible guiding story. So in a moment, I will be weaving some context, but in a moment we will be welcoming to the Visionary Activist Show the joyful activist, Francis Della Vecchia, that we may honor his splendid article, Tired of Old White Men Running Things. Wait for it. 'Tis an unexpected, encouraging, liberating narrative that ensues. And Francis has been energetically cahooting with Bernie Sanders since 2015, and has noted Bernie's demographics dramatically expanding and blooming into what he says mostly young, more female than male, and a majority people of color. This is surprising and good. Not surprisingly, perhaps, this demographic mix mirrors what the future of this country, and particularly its power structure, is destined to look like. All right, so, you know, again, listening to the New Hampshire primary returns coming in, going, I can't watch CNN and MSNBC. I can't. They're disparagers. Although we do have nuance, because last night Rachel did her job, a rousing call to all sane, reverent people, delineating the Dementor danger that we're all in. So nuance. Okay, a little bit of part of Rachel there. But we need many more newses. So Coyote in all of us has the keys to unlock the story prisons, also known as mainstream news. Support KPFA and the Visionary Activist Show, Coyote Network News, and the Joyful Activist, and all trustworthy narrative voices. So, yes. So welcome, Francis. Hello? Oh. Well, no, not quite... Not quite there yet. Okay, issues with phone. Say the wizards, we pray to the gods of Mercury. There we go. Well, that is perfect, actually, because right now, many narrative voices, many trustworthy things, who do we listen to, all of that, and how do we liberate the stories from the conniption fit inducing narrative and constraint? Oh, there we are. We are liberating beings. So... we are in Fund Drive, and I've been using effectively for quite a long time, Got to, right? Got to is outsourced autonomy, outsourced Saturn, and creates resistance. We get to do Fund Drive. We do. And I get to offer, thank you gifts that I really love. So we are offering Max Dashew, a guest often of show, her fabulous book, Witches and Pagans, Women in European Folk Religion, which we really want to honor. They're huge things. We're breaking spells and we're composting the last little sneaky vestiges, well, and blatant vestiges of the Inquisition. And I love from her book, that it was that women would sing blessings into the cloth they were weaving, this visible, invisible interaction, and the Christian monk said, no singing while weaving. So we're offering that book, Witches and Pagans, for a pledge of $150 or $15 a month. We're also offering Midwinter Trickster Council. I hold that every Monday, but this was opened up with guest Micah Nielsen, fabulous actual alchemist, with just rich nutrient. Oh, I will listen to that recording myself. It's a download 2, 3, 4 more times. Herbs that support our dreaming, our visioning, and our dreaming the world into being. Myths, words, language, for a pledge of $50 or $5 a month. And also, Max has donated 20 enrollments to her Suppressed Histories Archive. Archives 50 Years for Women's Heritage event with Max Dashew. I can't tell you when that is, but we'll get back to you on that. Any of or all of those things can be yours by calling 800-439-5732, 800-439-5732, there you go, or online francis@kpfa.org. Welcome, Francis. There you are.
Hi. Great to be here.
Hi. Yeah, no, it's a pleasure. Right. So I tell you backstage, but here backstage is on stage too, is I was sitting on with great allies and guests of show, Yahya Labavidi, Egyptian poet, and the instructions of the guiding mythology was like, wonder will attract revelation. So I was like, I want a positive story crafting ally. I want a positive story wizard. I wonder who I will host on radio. Ah, and your email came in. Ah, there it was. It's fabulous. So welcome. Welcome.
Perfect.
Thank you. The ocean has, yeah. So, yeah, we can dive in many, many places, but the title of your article, right, is tired of old white men running things. And that was a bold thing, right? Because I saw that come into my email and I was like, oh, except for Bernie. Anyway, so that was a tease, right? So, that was, just to say about your skillful titling there.
Thank you. It is a tease, and at the same time, it's not. I am tired of old white men running things. And someone would look at me and say I'm an old white man. I'm a 54-year-old Italian American guy. But when I look at things like who sat around the table with Donald Trump and decided on women's health, and there were nothing but old white men there, I'm really tired of that. But the tease is, I really do believe if we want to change the face of who our representatives are, not just at the top, not just at the president level, but really up and down, I really think that changing the way that we run politics in this country will radically affect how many people of color, how many women of color, how many people, not just ethnically, but also demographically, in terms of salary, in terms of access. I think that we need to get money, and the way that money buys our politics needs to change, and that will open up so many possibilities for so many more people to get involved. And so to me, for the first time in my lifetime, there's a real possibility of that happening, and that happens to be with Bernie Sanders as the spearhead of this movement. And to me, electing Bernie is only really tangentially about electing Bernie. Electing Bernie's about validating this massive movement that said we can run our own politics, just get out of the way. We'll chip in 10, 20, 30 bucks each and we'll run the politics. Just don't stop us and watch what happens. And Bernie just is the right messenger at the right time, who's been beating the same drum for decades, and his authenticity has allowed him, not that he created a movement, it's allowed him to be the spearhead of so many movements that have been, you know, working doggedly for years and decades, and perhaps in their own little silo or one issue. But now it's all congealing. It's all coming together. And to me, when someone says, you know, I really want to see a, when they say a different face, like when they say whether it's a woman or a person of color, like me too. I want different viewpoints. I want different backgrounds. I want immigrants. I want all kinds of different life experiences to be in power. And the way we pull that off is to change how we run our politics. And so, yeah, I wrote this article to say I'm tired of it too. And the way to get there is to vote for the oldest white guy right now.
That's great. No, that's great. And your jaunty tone. Remember, Wendell Berry says, "Be jaunty, even though fully informed." And this is really crucial. And you said another great word, authenticity, which is, you know, we all aspire that our insides and our outsides match. It's a lifetime dedication kind of thing. But the detective novels from 231 BC in China said, if you are descending into the underworld in order to restore order to the world, then your greatest protection is authenticity. Because if you are authentic, if you're dedicated in that way, then here's what will happen. Bad people will come up to you going, I was going to rob you and kill you, but I can tell that you're for real, so I'm going to join your team, but I have underworld skills you will need. I love that bit of strategy coming to us from 231 BC in China going, right. And I think, you know, when we think about the amount of, like, the miracle it's going to take to elect a sane, reverent person, you know, so much against, so it's a trickster move, right? It's got to be a miracle, and it's got to be that authenticity, and that's where, that's really crucial, that protection in the underworld, that will guide, you know. Well, what I want to also toss back, which is so important in your article, is we can see already the bot storm and the provocation into strife and polarity, which feeds the Dementors. They love that, right? And it's like, oh, no, calm down. No, not Warren and Bernie fighting. No. And Bernie set a good tone going in the manners and the thin ally etiquette. But that's so important now. You can see it happening, and we want to quell that polarity, right?
Absolutely, and I was actually just looking over a piece I wrote a little bit ago about unity, which I think plays right into what you're talking about, and that it's interesting when I do hear people that say, you know, all those people behind Bernie are so angry and they're always shouting people down, and I say, you know, clearly I've never been on the other side of that, so I'm not one to say whether it's true or not. Clearly the perception is out there. I know that one of the main reasons that I support this candidacy is because of the other people that support the candidacy. And what I hear and what I come across and what I interact with is nothing but welcoming. Like, come on in. We want you. Come play. This is a really fun game. Come play with us. And yet the perception that people have, I think largely from online, that they are getting shouted down by, and in some cases they may be actual supporters, in other cases, as you alluded to, they may be,
right,
you know, purposely planted division.
Right. Well, the purposely planted then picks up the polarity. It's a magnet that draws loose metal filings. So it's really useful for the likes of yourself to put your article and things and all of us on our work table about ally etiquette, right? And these are important things. Like I posted on my public Facebook page, you know, a necessary article about Pete Buttigieg's sketchy funding and connections to nefarious military. And one person flipped out and goes, oh, this hatred. I go, no, we just got to know stuff. There, you know, no, all this anti. And I go, there's none of that here. I go, 5-yard penalty for embodying what you're decrying, you know, declined, ball back in play. Again, so the idea that we want to critique, but we do want to, cool? Critique as compost for, you know, vision, but we can't be averse to looking at what's up to no good.
Absolutely. I think critique, I think, is important so that people can, you know, make an informed decision about what they want to do. And I'll come back to a little piece that I shared. You know, the impetus for me to write this was literally that day. It was the impeachment trial day when they said we're not going to have witnesses. I said I need to go out and do something positive. What's positive? So there was a barnstorm for Bernie that night where they're essentially training volunteers. How do you go out and canvas, things like that. So I went just as much to see what they were doing. It was local. I wanted to see what was happening. And I was struck by a couple major things. One being that it was entirely run by women. The entire meeting, everything, all the training, six different women, I think, no men saying anything. Caucasian women, women of color, ran the whole thing, which I thought was, you know, very telling when there's still that, you know, that Bernie bro narrative out there, right?
Yeah, I want to throw that word into the cauldron. Yeah.
So the other thing that was very telling was it was a bit of a role play and said, okay, I'm coming to your door. you answer the door. So, and people ask questions about, okay, so, and, you know, these people are very nervous, never knocked on doors before, many of them. So what if I get to a door and someone says, you know, I support X, I support Buttigieg or Warren, whoever. And the trainer was very clear, incredibly clear. Do not say anything negative about the other person.
Mm-hmm.
In this context, you're a stranger coming to someone's door, right? And why would you get into conflict with them, and why would you expect a conflict to end well for you? The best thing that you can do in that situation is share why you are so on board with this movement that you're willing to go and knock on doors for it. Right?
Right.
So
right.
Whatever that personal story is for anybody is so much more powerful than whatever they might get into on a doorstep in that moment. Like, my candidate's better because, or your candidate's better because. All that is, like, whatever the reality is of each of those candidates' past remains the reality. But my reality, what I can affect while I'm standing on your doorstep or calling you on the phone, or less so online, but certainly also possible, is share my story. What gets me excited about doing this, right? And I think that that was telling in a couple ways. The first being, it's the opposite of the narrative that is pushed primarily online and through the media, right? That one campaign or another is putting down another, and right. Bernie supporters are angry, et cetera. And like, here it is coming direct from the campaign. Here's the training. Don't put anyone down. Invite everybody in. Tell your personal story. Keep it positive, right? So to me, it was, right. You know, it was very powerful. Like, this is it in action. Here we are. We've got whatever it was, 150 people in that room who are then going to go out and speak to however many hundred or thousands of people over the coming weekends. And it's coming straight from the mouth of the campaign. Be positive. Don't put people down. Help them understand why it's important to get on board.
No, that's great. There's a saying, tyrants don't care if they're hated as long as the people don't love each other. And I
exactly.
Like to add, tyrants don't care if they're hated as long as the people don't love the earth, right? So,
mm-hmm.
So yes, again, putting these invitational standards out. And yeah, and again, for all of us to use, you know, critique. Years ago, a friend taught me after I got into a polarity opposition about the first Iraq war, and people were like, well, at least the bombs were smart. And I'm like, no, it says, and my friend said, you know, people never mind being asked, did you know? As long as one isn't asking it snarkily, you know, did you know that the Kuwaitis were slant drilling oil? Did you know that whatever? And I think that's a good part of our skill to put in our magic backpacks, you know, because exactly, then it's the story, you know, tell me, you know, here's my story. And that is exactly the strategy crucial. Now, I was at the Republican convention with the Pacifica team, and after it, I fell to my knees under the stars outside going, oh no, we are getting so smoked on storycraft. You know, oh no, and I knew what was going to happen. I knew it as like, oh no, we need everything. We need all of our powers of eloquence and imagination and story and whatever to not feed the Dementors thriving on, you know, polarity and strife and the hum of nuclear power plants and that into like, it's an evolutionary necessity. But what's so heartening about your dedication and your article is it's like, right, the atmosphere that we want, you know, was one of compassionate embrace, you said.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah, I mean, look, fear works. And, you know, I before the last election, I was listening to someone, and they were talking about we had hope, you know, or at least the banner of hope for 8 years is what Obama ran under, and now it was time for some fear, because it goes in cycles. We have hope for a while, and we have fear for a while. And I said, I really hope you're wrong. I'm hoping with all my hope that you're not right with your fear.
I'm afraid you're right about hope. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. And look, fear is firmly in charge at the moment in terms of our federal government and in terms of the way it's.
Yep. Oh yeah. Well, the powers. I mean, my God, the prosecutor is the "I will crush you. I will send minions to." I'm reading a very sane guy by the Washington Post reporter's essay, whatever. I can't even remember. But there's all kinds of stuff in which Rosenstein has to come back because there's death threats against his wife, and he's yelling at Nunes, going, "You're making money off of this. I'm a Republican. My wife's a Republican, and we have a hit on us. We had to move on." I mean, all of this violent, vituperative, like, whew. So, yeah. You know, cooling it out. But and then the invitation, story crafters to, you know, sane reverence over here, ingenuity over here. There we go. So, and the authenticity. I mean, when I liked being part of the Pacifica Republican Convention covering team. It was a great team, and driving there, going, I'm in the mode of gathering stories. And there were many great stories to be had in crossing of boundaries. You know, I went into extremely right wing Republican cafe out in the middle. You know, but we you know, and then she said, Bernie's for real. Bernie's for real. Mm-hmm. If we weren't voting for Trump, we'd vote because he's for real. She said, I have such great sympathy for you in the Democratic Party or whatever it is, or you know, you having to vote for Hillary. That's really tough. And I go, thank you for your sympathy. But the for real, the texture. But crucial, you know, what you said about the story. We're electing a story, and where I was so impressed also is Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. And Bernie had been doing their big rally in New York, and this annoying, imprisoning NPR interviewer afterwards was like, well, this is a very liberal district, so you're not bringing very much to the thing, are you? And they didn't touch this condescending, imprisoning thing. They were like, we're electing a story, and we're expanding the electorate. And Alexandria said, my enthusiasm is I love talking to people who haven't voted. I love talking. We're going to see. And I go, this is it. This is absolutely it. You know, everybody out. Everybody out expanding the whole electorate. That's the way against the corruption. It's like, whew. And the story uplift craft. So just to weave astromythology in, because we met at Bioneer, so you know I do this, but I love that for our show today, the moon is in Libra, and it's at the degree of the zodiac whose metaphor is men toiling in a dark pit, a woman calmly lowers a rope. I love that degree, right? Because it's like, oh, you who, oh, humans, oh, everybody, you know, you can climb out now, you know, here's the rope. Wait, I got stuff to do. Let me tie it to a tree. But I think that's also what we want to do. Everybody going, here's keys, here's a rope, you know, come on this way. You know, it's critique and then, you know, the vision. And Bernie, you know, was pretty good at this. 2016, which is the magic mirror we all have, which is secular critic holds up mirror and goes, look, you know, it sucks in detail. And then trickster, coyote part of all of us, with a wave of the hand paw, turns the mirror into a window. But look how beautiful it could be. And with another wave of the hand paw, turns it into a door. Let's go. And Bernie was really good at that. But because of the game show nature of the tyrannical constraint of the debates and all, he would sometimes just stop with mirror, right? And so I want to see all of us. All of us going, here's how it is, and here's the vision. Come on, and it's like he got tired. We got to be all of us got to be mirror, window, door.
Absolutely.
So, yeah,
I feel that so politics has become, for so many people, such a cynical activity. that the idea that we could actually look through that window, see what we want to create, and then open that window, go and create it, which we're so many people are willing to do with all other aspects of their lives, right? There's all kinds of self-help books and ways to improve yourself and ways to get richer, and people will do all this sort of visioning and The Secret and all that. They'll do it for themselves. Right? Like, ooh, I see myself in 5 years and I'm doing this and I've got this partner. Like, they're willing to do that on a personal level.
Right.
But so unwilling to do that for us as a society. As if...
Wait.
What is out...
Oh, sorry. I'm sorry. Keep going. Oh. Yeah.
As if what is out there is anything other than a reflection of what we've created.
Right.
As if it exists on its own, that we didn't create this society as a group, that it was somehow, you know, magically brought down, and humans didn't have a hand in creating all of this, from money to healthcare to elections. It's all just stuff that we made up. So the idea that we can't envision it differently and make it exactly what we want it to become, but somehow we can do that for us and our families, is like that leap that we need to make, I think. And I think we're getting there bit by bit. But again, the fear that is being, you know, dropped down to keep us separate, to keep us from dreaming, is very powerful.
Right. And just for the language crafting thing, I'm ardent about language is magic. Mm-hmm. Again, naming mm-hmm. things and we're invoking, and whatever we say, we get more of. So I just like for all of us to experiment with when we say a true but undesirable thing, we just slightly park it in the past rather than continuing to invoke it, going, it has been true that mm-hmm. humans have been deluded and whatever, to fear, because then we leave the, you know, or this thing that we really want, you know, hasn't happened yet. See, mm-hmm. it opens the thing. So all of us to leave room for the spark of, see, I love that, you know, we're part of something larger than human. I really feel mm-hmm. it's like what was said about the great voodoo queen of Marie Laveau of New Orleans by, I think, Michael Ventura. Marie Laveau did not create cultural movements, but a woman of her substance understood what was at stake. She saw a role to be played and played it to the hilt, helping to coalesce a scattered and oppressed peoples into a moment of cultural ecstasy. We go, well, we want more than just a moment, right? But a renaissance. But I love that idea that it's happening. The earth is stirring. There's everywhere. There's the tyranny and the death, you know, and the beauty arising out of that. So it's happening. You know, we don't even have to create it. We want to align with it. And I think that's one frame of the story we can think of, is everybody invited to step up, see a role to be played, played it to the hilt. It's like, come on, team. So yeah, rousing. And I think part of what you're up to, which I so admire, and is the invitation to the best of humans to come forth, right? Because what we're seeing, we know mob mind and the invitation of the worst, but it's like, come on, like the in the underworld, bad people. But if you're authentic, come on over here. Because I talk to whistleblowers, you know, who are, you know, and I've hosted them on the show, and, you know, they go, we've did terrible things for 40 years at the NSA, but now we want to change. And it's like, yeah, come on. Mm-hmm. Now, we keep our discernment, you know, but discourage the bad, encourage the good, which is why we do want manners and nuance.
Absolutely. And, I mean, back to, like, there, you know, to get even more... On your line of, you know, there's something much more than meets the eye to this planet, to this universe. Like, we are all one, literally. We're all made of the same stardust. So those whistleblowers, this president, yeah. the criminals, like,
right.
It's not just that I identify with them. I mean, I am them. They are me, right? And at a very deep level, they want what's best. They may not be able to articulate that they actually want what's best for everyone yet, because they're so caught up in the separation, but somewhere deep down they also want what's best for everyone. And when that, and my firm belief is that when that starts to get unearthed and like you say, shown through that window, hey, look, here's what's best for everyone, and it starts to work, more and more people are like, oh, right. This is what's best for everyone, and this is working, and my life is better, too. This is really cool.
Right.
But getting them past that initial belief that, oh, it's probably going to be much worse than it is right now, whether it's healthcare or whether it's immigration or whatever thing they want to latch on to, that's saying, like, I don't trust that it's going to get any better ever, so I got to keep mine for myself. But just a little bit of breath and opening and like, oh, wow, it's actually getting better. I like this. I like this better than it was before.
Yes, a friend of mine sent me just a wonderful thing that I printed and put on the wall about something marvelous in her life, unexpected. And it's just the phrase, be open to it being way better than you imagined.
Mm-hmm.
Not counting on it. Right? See, there's a distinction, right?
Mm-hmm.
What we say, expectation is the partner of disappointment. I knew Obama would be a
mm-hmm.
crook. Okay. But willingness, see, the trickster is saying to each one of us, I'm going to connect you all. We're doing it right now. We're doing it through the miracle of telepathic radio. And all I want from everybody is willingness to throw your arms up in the air, hoist your sails of willingness, right? So we want to throw all past, present, and future expectation and its consequent disappointment into the cauldron, blah, 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 and ladle out available and willing, right? And it's like, imagine if we were disappointment-proof. It's like, we could really then do stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We'd be quite coherent rather than, and I think snark into the cauldron, that, you know, our dedication is to be, you know, woof woof liberating. And see, I also loved, you know, where everything's reporting in for duty, everything we've ever loved, you know. But when I was in the Palestinian refugee camp in Syria, thanks to great Deborah Felmuth, and this wonderful, wonderful 96-year-old woman was hosting us, and the call to prayer came on. She got up and danced and did reverence. And then she said, I'm glad to see you here being, you know, playful. We don't want activists, you know, deriving status from our suffering. We want beauty and art and theater and poetry and music. It's like, oh, that's good too. And that is the quality. It's like Jose Andres, you know, when he goes into disaster areas, goes, the meals have got to be beautiful. And we got the musicians here.
Mm-hmm.
And we do it. And we go, right. And that's, you know, how shall we gather? And so your scouting report, you know, about how shall we gather, you know, in tolerance and encouragement. And, you know, these are important conversations for us all to have.
Absolutely. And is the word struggle almost came out of my mouth? And like, is the struggle?
Yeah.
Word? I don't even want to say the word struggle.
Well, try dance mm-hmm. just for fun.
Exactly.
And replace struggle. So, well, replace struggle with dance, right? Is the dance worth it?
So when we look at how, you know, how these, you know, multi-year long campaigns happen in our country, you know, this doesn't happen in other countries, first of all, but in our country, multi-years long, and we've only just begun the primaries, right? We've already been at this for a year and a half, right? And what does it take, and who does one want to be involved with? Do they want to be, as you say, dancing along the path? You know, like I've got an acquaintance who I just learned is putting together a bicycle music tour in support of the Green New Deal, that they'll bicycle from town to town and then set up bicycle-powered electric stages and have big rock concerts in support of the Green New Deal and Bernie Sanders. And I mean, even if he doesn't win, how much fun is that? Like,
liberating cultural hijinks, right? No, the Renaissance, the journey is the destination, right? Absolutely. So I'm going to be responsible now, but you're complete and pitched for our beloved station.
Yep,
and we
do.
Can still to and fro if you're willing to hang in here.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Fabulous. All right, so our more than perfect for today guest, Francis Della Vecchia, is reminding us of the quality of conversations we want to have on KPFA, in Pacifica, in the world, you know, and how we hone our skills and strategy, and, you know, and it's just so effective. So we, of course, are raising money. It's our Valentine's Day present. Again, tomorrow, Valentine's Day, after almost Pope Valentinius, who was a true socialist egalitarian, believed in equal men and women and equal whatever rotate, and really in composting priesthood, almost the Pope. So it's a socialist holiday. So a Valentine gift to KPFA would be more than welcome to keep us running, that we can have conversations increasingly important on the air, the many kinds of newses, so that we don't have to subject ourselves to conniption fits of so much lies, you know, and imprisoning. We want liberating narrative and tolerant narrative and inclusive magnetism. So, yes, 800-439-5732. Any spontaneous donation would be adorable, right? And also online, kpfa.org. But we have thank you gifts. And these are things that I love and that are pertinent to all of us. You know, Max Dashew, fabulous women's historian, well, of everything, really. We're offering her book, Witches and Pagans, Women in European Folk Religion, 700 to 1100. It is a nutrient-rich, hugely pertinent to now about, you know, the seeds of Inquisition and the thriving of art and wisdom throughout all of that coming up now. Everything's reporting in for duty now. Everything we've ever loved, every teaching, everything, you know, pouring into our bodies. So you can have that book for a pledge of $150 or $15 a month. We're offering something I love. Trickster Council, Midwinter with Micah Nilsson, fabulous colleague who brought what to this renaissance. She is a true alchemist. It really means something. And it's her and mice and me delving into what we need this winter strategy in terms of plant entheogenic support and metaphors and guiding stories. Really great. You can have that as a download. There we go, because we don't need plastic. A download for a pledge of $50 or $5 a month. And then there are 20 enrollments to Max Dashew's Suppressed History Archives, 50 Years for Women's Heritage. Details will be given to you when you sign up for a pledge of $30. There we go. Any or all by calling 800-439-5732 or online, kpfa.org. So we're moving our, you know, emotional default setting, really, to woof, woof, want to play. And I think that's, you know, part of our guest today's dynamic, Francis Della Vecchia, joyful activist, because you are approaching the world with woof, woof, want to play, right?
That's the hope. Yeah.
Well, let's, no, more than a hope. Let's say every dynamic listener right now, let's all do it together here. We're dedicating to moving our emotional default setting to woof woof wanna play. Not that we don't note the grief and the thing, but as we approach, because is our manner of relating an offering serves democracy and all, or an imposition serves tyranny, no matter what label we put on our butt. And so, well, let's dedicate. The reason we make vows is that we can't do anything by ourselves. You know, it's like, oh, spirit of woof and KPFA community, you know, let us hold ourselves lovingly to our dedicated selves, and knowing in full that we are all befoibled and all of that. But yeah, to be, that our story, metaphor, language be in accord with our dedicated heart. So, yes, so conversations like this, again, you can call 800-439-5732, and we're offering a number of fun and pertinent thank you gifts if you would like to donate on kpfa.org. The book Witches and Pagans by Max Dashew for a pledge of $150. Midwinter Trickster Council with guest Micah Nilsson. Really fabulous, nutrient-rich. I'm going to listen to it at least two or three more times. Whew. Very full, for a pledge of $50. Wonderful, encouraging. We want to get everybody nourished and up to speed, you know, or up to slowness. Suppressed History Archives, 50 years. Again, we're drawing from stories, because everything, we need all of our skills now. You know, and I like, some smart British person a while ago said, you know, to be cultured is to be acquainted with the highest possibilities of the human spirit throughout time. And we at this show, of course, like to expand that beyond human, the highest possibility of wolves and sea slugs and, I mean, everybody. But again, the heartening part, the critique, yes, and then the vision. And we can to and fro, Francis, too, because you delineated in your fabulous article, which we've posted online everywhere. But you know, your own journey. All of us invited to think of our own journey. And you ran for mayor in Los Angeles in an early social media strategy experiment, right?
I did indeed. That was in the context of really a lifetime of how do I make a difference? And I back up for a second just so others can, you know, envision it in the same terms of it. At different points in my life, there seemed different ways that I could both use my gifts and contribute to the greater good. Sometimes it was around policies. Sometimes it was nonprofits. Sometimes it was direct action. And then it came time to see if I could actually run for office. And the point wasn't necessarily, hey, I need to be mayor of Los Angeles. But in the late 90s, I had many friends in politics and many friends in technology. And we were looking at it and saying, hey, we could maybe run a campaign soon where we didn't have to rely on TV advertising. We could use this thing called the internet. And maybe we could pull it off. If we could, you know, and this doesn't sound revolutionary anymore, but we were thinking we could webcast the entire campaign, making a forum for the city of Los Angeles and thereby the country.
Yes,
and at the time, yes. Webcasting meant having cameras and satellite modems, and, you know, we were not talking about, nobody was doing anything from their phone, right? So we said, wow, we could do this. And so we set about and we launched. And for 9 months solid, we webcast the entire campaign, which meant every debate, but also we would at least once a week do something either in public or in a setting that would shed some light on what was going on in Los Angeles, meaning we might ride the bus 1 week and interviewed the bus driver and say, okay, so you've been driving this line for 15 years. What would you do differently and to make mass transit in LA better? Or we could interview passengers and we put together, you know, at least once a week, something like that, talking with all manner of civil servants going to school, talking with teachers, talking with children, just being out in public in the park, these sorts of things. And so by the end of the campaign, it was as much a repository of what the actual people who live and work in Los Angeles, their hopes and dreams for how to create a sustainable city, how to deal with mass transit, how to deal with homelessness, how to deal with police reform. It was as much that as it was me needing to be in office. Knowing that it was a long shot because I had no prior electoral history. We had many goals that we had set, including, you know, getting other people to run for office, inspiring young people, creating this forum, introducing a sustainable city plan as an idea, a holistic guide to recreating the city. Knowing that if we didn't win, we still wanted to make sure that we had achieved some of these goals. And, you know, gratefully, we achieved many of them, other than winning, of course. And I say all that as an inspiration to, you know, the one person that did ask, so I didn't make it past the primary. I came in 7th out of 15 in the primary. The top two went on. I was trying to break into at that point, the multi-million dollar candidates. Everyone in the top six spent more than $2 million. I spent $25,000. And I was really trying to at least break into the millionaires. I did not. But in the end, the person who wanted my endorsement after the primary was not another mayoral candidate, but a city council candidate who was running for the city council for the first time and was in a very tightly contested race. And I ended up giving my support to that person, all my volunteers, and knocking on doors, doing the canvassing, the whole bit. And that person ended up winning by 200 votes. And that person is now the mayor of Los Angeles, because that person was Eric Garcetti.
Oh, that's great. I'm glad I didn't interrupt you in the finale of that crucial story. That's really great. No, because exactly the way to go. And so, you know, all these skills you're bringing, and everybody's skills. Yeah, because and dusting everything off that's ever been useful. You know, James Carse's great book, Finite and Infinite Games, in which he says, even just on the cover, a finite game's about winning, an infinite game's about keeping everything in play, right? So you just did a great animating of that, exactly, going, right, it's a story and gathering everyone's stories, and it's a collective wisdom, and we're not outsourcing that, and that let it be an educational, conversational dynamic. We're, again, electing a story, and everyone, you know, when I've crossed borders and talked to people who are challenging, you know, I go, well, what is your definition of the purpose of government? And I did have this one epiphany, again, if we are practicing, you know, composting our harumphitude and our, you know, scorn and all, you know, because climate denier, Trump guy, just everything's, anyway, and I go, well, what is your definition of government? He goes, see, again, you know, no prison for the unexpected, asking people, and then I said, well, let's just start off together. The purpose of government is to, and then we both said together, protect the Commonwealth. And then we looked at each other and gave each other high fives, and I go, that was perfect. I'm leaving now. We're getting on so well. I'm leaving right now. But again, we want that's what I meant by playful, you know. And, you know, I do, like, at the Republican convention with this, you know, right-wing Baptist, you know, Alabama guy, you know, and I go, want to play a game? I love games. I have quotes from ISIS and Trump, and you tell me which one is which. And he couldn't, right? You know, and I read one, like, we have to destroy the world. And I go, no, he said, that's Trump. And I go, no, that's ISIS. And he goes, ha, got me. So again, this liberating dynamic. All right, let me be responsible again. All right. Great KPFA dynamic listenership. We want to encourage, not berate, but magnetize and encourage the replenishment of our beloved mothership, KPFA and the Visionary Activist Show. I know so many of you listen, and this is part of our strategy, gathering and council. So pledging is magic too, as language is. To vote is to devote, to pledge, you know. Again, sacred money. Money is eager to be liberated from the confines of funky, sketchy people into regenerative, blooming and nourishing and irrigating all that. So perhaps as you go to the phone or have the phone in your hand to dial 800-439-5732, we might do a collective piece of magic for us all, right? Inward dedication magnetizes outward opportunity, right? And we're pledging for this, right? You know, and just a simple thing, the backstage divine is eager to cahoot with us, you know, in our available offering, you know, just dance us all into place where we can do the most good, have the most fun, and contribute our gifts to the community in a way that is replenishing at this time of dire beauty. Right, there we go. And if you like that, just go in your own home. Ashe, may it be so. And meanwhile, dial 800-439-5732 so we can keep this narrative. Because what our splendid guest, Francis Della Vecchia, said about, you know, we conjured this. We created a world of plastic. We did this. And as Reverend Ike said, if we can dream it up, we can dream it down. Mm-hmm. Right? So it's dissolve it back in and then go, is this the most wonderful way possible? No. Then throw it into the cauldron and liberate imagination. And that's why I the Institute for Local Self-Development a million years ago, but had this crucial contribution to our conversation, the difference between price and cost. And they said, you know, price is retail, cost is what the community pays. And once you factor that in, it opens up your imagination enormously. You know, the price of rock salt you know, on the roads to melt snow, and you know, is cheap. The cost is enormous in terms of pollution of water and degradation of infrastructure. So anyway, so cost versus price, these are all skills. We want to all be, you know, exchanging stories and greeting the stranger, welcoming the stranger. Good sir, what is your story? Woof, woof, want to play. And if somebody doesn't want to play, we spiral on, not in any harumphatudinous thing, because then we weren't really playful.
Right.
You know, if we're attached to how our woof, woof is received. So, yeah. Mm. Where do you live, Francis Delavecchia?
I mostly live in Santa Monica, California.
There you go. So KPFK currently you...
Yeah, I also spend a lot of time currently in Colorado because I'm part of a... I'm a partner in a company that is bringing plant-based regenerative wellness to the people. So we have a facility in Grand Junction, Colorado, and we... work with hemp there, and we make CBD and CBN and other non-THC cannabinoid products to bring wellness to the people. So I spend a lot of time in Grand Junction and some on the Front Range as well.
That's great. No, that's right. No. Who brought what? You know, again, it is a renaissance. And the plants, everything, I think of... you know, one metaphor is as though all of flora fauna is meeting backstage going, what are we going to do about the humans? We've got to either kill them or heal them. Let's do both. But let's make everything that has ever moved humans to participatory kinship, you know, humming and alive and available, right? And so, yes, the hemp thing and the gathering insane reverence to animate the desirable story and getting out in tolerance and applying all that we know in this dance, because this is it. As they say in the South, we ain't play acting now, children. It's like, woof, 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 woof. So I can't afford to feed the Dementor polarizing hajjad because it's, yeah. But, yeah, they're just that strategy. So maybe we can also, well, you clearly have a bag of liberating lightning. May we all have, you know, the coyote in us, a bag of liberating lightning that we toss at polarity to turn it into a spiral. And one way you can do that, and it would really mean a lot if you were to pledge to the Visionary Activist Show right now in these remaining moments, although it's a long time, 8 minutes, but fabulous, by calling 800-439-5732. That's 800-439-5732. Many of you tell me your dog likes listening. Pledge for your dog. We have many listeners in prison. Many listeners in prison. We love them. May there be no prison for anybody, really. Healing and stuff, right? But again, pledge for those who cannot. Pledge for what you love. We're all here to form partnerships with what we love in myriad forms of collaboration. Collaborating with the hemp plant, collaborating with the what? Who brought what? But everything is alive and willing to collaborate. So in that light, we are offering some enticements. Thank you gifts, really. Max Dashew's fabulously nutrient-rich, dense book, Witches and Pagans, Women in European Folk Religion, for a pledge of $150, full of like, oh, yes, and that's quite relevant to now, and we're tossing that off and unfurling, because what was suppressed is cooperation everywhere. The Inquisition is about suppressing cooperation with each other, with plants, with all of that, you know. And being knowledgeable has always been a heretical thing. So that's important. We're also offering Midwinter Trickster Council with guest Micah Nielsen, invaluable plant lore, knowledge, support, tinctures, stories to guide us through midwinter. Because it's the time when Persephone lights her candle and begins ascending up out of the underworld, and we with her, bringing... You know, we're all going through changes, right? The primary descent and return is, you know, Persephone descends a maiden, la 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 la, you know, or the wizard or the boy descends, you know, puer, lo, and returns a wizard and an initiated being. And that's, you know, let's all root for us doing that. So that's heartening. And in light of that, Suppressed Histories Archive, 50 Years for Women's Heritage, event with Max Dashew. We had 20 to begin with, don't know, for a pledge of a mere 30. All or any or whatever, one can be yours by calling 800-439-5732. That's 800 800- Hey KPFA, or donating securely online at kpfa.org. And, you know, a listener said, you know, you make the pledge drives fun. And I go, all right, let's make them fun and effective. That's important that we are magnetizing. Let's show the grown-ups that we don't have to harangue. We can magnetize in the manner of what we want to be. So surprise donations are completely welcome. 800-439-5732. I have not heard from the wizards of the phone room at this moment, so don't know what's there. No, we don't. Not a word, but send me a peep. Thank you, whoever has given. There we go. We're in telepathic rapport, and all of the telepathic incentives and pledges and matches, that's the word. Yes, may they be so. So, yeah, pour money and funding into KPFA, you know, as Marge Piercy says, a spell for attracting wild money. I will rub my hands with honey and run through the vaults of banks. You know, come money. You know, I will not enchain you in, you know, dark trust funds or long. No, soon you'll be free to join others of your kind. You know, come money and build a murmuring swarm in my purse. In KPFA's purse. There we go. It will only go to good. We're really pretty darn sure, because behind all the humans is Pacifica, the goddess of peace. That's what we're pledging to. And she is stronger than humans. Again, thought forms, all really important, but our collective gathering and animating the desirable story is so important right now, and that's really what we're pledging for at 1-800-439-5732. So let me pass it to you, Francis Della Vecchia, for a minute. Are you in accord?
Good. Amazing. And I was just reflecting on listening and the act of listening, and, you know, clearly appropriate for radio and spells you're weaving. And just in my life, the recurring theme as I get older is ever more listening, and really using that to find where I may be of service, where I can really activate my own magic, and listening for where it's called for. And I really believe that many people, just to tie it back to this particular campaign and this particular time in history, I really believe that many people, Bernie first among them, are really listening to what's happening and acting in service. Firmly believe that this is a moment, and this is a movement of people listening to each other, linking arms and saying, I'm there for you, are you there for me? And it just so happens that this, again, old white guy is the avatar for the moment, that we need to check a box on our ballots because that's how we do things currently. But I'm voting for the people on each side of me and the people in front of me and behind me. And that, to me, that's what's really happening. And I feel like the more I listen to that, and the more I listen to what maybe not people's a little bit, their actual voices, but if I listen to what people's souls are calling for on a worldwide level, this is it.
I'm inhaling back the last minute from yourself. That was completely splendid. It is delightful that Trickster has danced us into place. But also just what you were saying, you know, Rachel Harris, another guest of show, you know, did a report, a science, neuroscience, that said relationship to an unseen ally is the same in our brain as talking to a good friend. Our brain is completely democratic about visible and invisible. Radio, of course, is invisible. It is so wonderful. It is quite different from TV. It's much more democratic. We are as real to each other now as talking to a good friend in our brains. And that's really what we're pledging for. 800-439-5732. Come on, team. We're rooting for everybody. We're voting for everybody, all the humans and the plants and the animals, you know, again, in our collaborative cahooting. So thank you always, backstage great Bardops, Lucretia Burton. And thanks again, Francis Della Vecchia. A pleasure. Woof.
Thank you.
And I'm Caroline Casey. We will reconvene next week. CoyoteNetworkNews.com. Woof, woof, woof. Oh, yeah.
following